If I could start, I'd like to share a little bit about this Emmett Till story is close to my heart, near and dear, personal. My mom would talk about Emmett Till very much so in us in our growing up. She was 13 years old when Emmett Till was killed. And so she would share that story with us often about Emmett Till and how it impacted her life. So much so, you know, when it came time to attend the March on Washington in 1963, she actually was pregnant with me and attended that march. And I always hold that like so near and dear to me, because she would always make sure that I knew that that was extremely important to her. But the ironic thing, the irony, is in 1991, my brother, Corey Sheldon, was killed in Albany. He was a veteran. He was employed at Albany Medical Center. He was 21 years old. And on January 3rd, he was picked up by the Albany police. And he was strangled. And they accused him 3 weeks after that of being in Washington Park. And they found a pinky print on the car of someone who had been assaulted in the Price Chopper on Delaware Avenue weeks prior. When my brother was killed, to watch this movie is very traumatizing, because the cry that this mother cried was the cry that my mom cried that night. And to watch the steps of what this woman went through, how this death of Emmett Till impacted my mom, and to not only after that, she would actually experience something so similar, to the point where she fought, just like this mom fought, right? Albany NAACP was involved for some time and actually helped us hire a second pathologist so that we would have our own autopsy, because the autopsy that they had given us said that he had taken his own life. But when they had hired this pathologist from New Jersey who came and did the autopsy, made it clear that there was no way that this 260-pound, 21-year-old man could kill himself with his army jacket, that he had been dead prior to that. When we went to Albany Med that morning, it was clear that he had been gone some hours. When we got there, they had him under heat lamps. To try to warm his body. And I only say that because when I watched the people in the courtroom and the things that they said in the courtroom, how the power that these people had to do the things that they did, and how they bring other people in to support their story, to get away with whatever they did, we experienced that to some degree. So when we continue to see, then there wasn't no cameras on your phone for people to videotape. So years and years later, when we continue to see things and behaviors like this, it's hurtful. I can't say that we haven't had some successes, because thank God for cameras, because people can't hide the things that they are doing. But the trauma still lives in us. So now, in 1991, we had white people supporting us, where in 1955, Emmett Till's mom didn't. So in 1991, white people and black people stood with us when we marched at the mayor's house, when we marched at Division II looking for answers. But I can't take up all night to tell you the steps that we went through, and the things that were hidden, and the lies that were told, and the people that were moved to cover up the story, and then make my brother shamed because of a choice that people made. Emmett Till told the woman she looked like a movie star.
Right.
And all of a sudden, her hands were behind her back.
Right.
Pulled to the right, to the left.
Right.
You know, but that's how far they have to go to cover up the ills that happened. But the trauma that lives in us because of that, living in fear, we don't want our kids to live in fear, right? So she's a mother of a son. My mother was a mother, and I say was, I lost my mom last year. My mom was a mother of sons, right? And I'm a mother of a son. But we don't want our children to live in fear. So we teach our children the stories of the past, but in teaching them the stories of the past, how do we not allow them to live in the trauma of fear? And that's us building relationships. And continuing, we can continue to tell the story, but we have to continue to build a relationship so that when we tell the story, that our children know when the fear is, when it happens, who they can talk to, who they can depend on, and where they can go. Thank you for allowing me to
share. Thank you.
Well, this is my second time seeing the movie. And the first time, I didn't pick up a lot of things that I saw this time. And, you know, a couple of things that I was impressed with in this movie is that there was an opportunity to see the lifestyle of Black people back in the 50s. It wasn't all a situation of poverty.
Right.
May not have been the richest, but we had a decent life.
Yes.
And that was demonstrated in the movie, and it showed the contrast of how folks in the South were living versus those who moved to the North for a better way of life. I really picked up on that this time in the movie. The other thing that I picked up on and I was saddened by is that the mother, in giving Emmett Till the talk, son, you gave him a talk.
Right.
I've given my sons the talk.
Yes.
She gave her son the set of Negro rules that you don't do anything. Here we are, even into this day, we still have to give the talk
same
to
talk.
Our son.
Same talk.
That's to the girls too. That's right. It's just sad that we still have to have that kind of talk. We still, you know, we talk to kids no matter what their race and class are. You know, there's certain things you don't do, like drinking and driving and going out here and acting up and destroying property. But we have to have that additional talk,
right,
about if you get pulled over, step on the steering wheel, you know, that whole thing. And we're still doing that today. Hopefully one day we will get to a point where we don't have to worry about that or have that kind of talk. The other thing, I remember a friend, I worked for the federal government, worked for the Department of Agriculture, and she had an opportunity to retire early. And she said, I'm going to move to North Carolina. I said, oh, that's good. She said, now I'll get a job down there. I said, okay. Now, in D.C., when we go to work, we dress. She went to North Carolina, and she dressed. That was not the thing to do. That was a big no-no, yes. She did not keep her job. And when she talked to Emmett Till, the mom talked to him about wearing the ring down there, that immediately came back to me. You know, you even have to be careful, you know, how you present yourself in different situations.
Yes.
You can't really be yourself.
Right, yes.
The other thing in this movie, and I wasn't exactly sure, I knew it was recent, but it, and the amount of time, it took 67 years to make lynching a federal crime.
Yes.
You have all kinds of different types of killing that have been a federal crime, except for lynching, and now we have that as a federal crime. Yeah. So just watching this movie, I'll probably have to watch it a third time. I'll probably pick up some more things.
Yes.
But that first time that I saw it, it was very sad, traumatic, and it just put me back to with my sons.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the young people here. I had to get my hats off to them. They stayed, watched the whole movie, and they were very attentive, and even got a little interactive. I felt like I was back home in the theater.
Like, you didn't